His recent comments about going to social welfare offices has upset many people, including our first guest on the programme this morning, and that is Deputy Padraig McLaughlin from Donegal. But before we speak to him live, let's hear what he had to say yesterday on the issue in Dáil Éireann.
And what's the message from Eamon Ryan? To go to the social welfare officer? To go to the social welfare officer? Christ almighty. No, what was it? Slow down was the message you had recently. Like, you need to talk to your senior minister. You need to tell him that this is deeply offensive, that people are struggling to get by. People who have been failed by government policy and don't take lectures kindly when the government didn't meet their responsibilities to deliver energy security and renewable energy.
That was Donegal Sinn Féin TD Padraig McLaughlin giving a very emotional response to the comments from Minister Ryan in the Dáil yesterday. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin joins us now on the line. Good morning to you, Deputy. And you're very welcome on to the programme this morning. Let's get straight down to business here. You, like so many other people, were perhaps taken aback, surprised somewhat by the minister's comments. How do you feel now, maybe a little bit more on from it, 24 hours on from it? Are you still as angry?
Yeah, I have to say I'm sickened listening to Eamon Ryan's pronunciations. And I have to say people across rural Ireland are sickened by it because people are really struggling here, you know, in every sector, households, with the huge jump in price for diesel and petrol. And if you live in many, many communities, particularly rural Ireland, you know, you have to have a car to get by. You know, if you want to earn a living, if you want to run a business, if you want to get an education, unfortunately, you need a car to get by. You don't have the option of the electricity infrastructure, you know, around you. So you have to have a car that requires petrol and diesel. Mm-hmm. And your cost of living, which is absolutely necessary to exist, to pay your bills, has just jumped up by about 60%, adding, you know, they estimate maybe around €1,000 a year to your household bill. But that's just for the car. If you add on your home heating oil, the cost of that has doubled, and about two-thirds of homes in our part of the world, around the border areas, you know, have home heating oil as their primary source of heat in the home. And then, of course, you have solid fuel increases. But just on the issue of home heating oil and petrol and diesel for cars, you know, this is a real crisis for people, and they need to hear from a government that understands what is happening to them. So you have this guy, Eamon Ryan, who's the Minister for Transport and the Environment, talking about just slow down when you're driving. My God. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, going to your social welfare officer. I mean, Christ, as I said in the Dáil, like, I just blew my mind when I heard that comment. Because any public representative, when you're talking about going to a community welfare officer, you're talking about extreme hardship cases, you know, that would also maybe get in support from the Vincent de Paul. You know, people who are unfortunately, you know, out of work, you can't afford to pay the fuel or making a real decision. That's really extreme hardship cases. You know, you wouldn't be looking at the big layer of people we're talking about here that would be able to do it. And anyway, even if they did...
And could I just ask you there, would in any ways, and look, there's probably an onus on me here to play devil's advocate to a certain degree, and Minister Ryan isn't on the line to maybe to represent himself, but in any ways, would he have been referring here, Deputy McLaughlin, maybe to what's known nowadays as the working poor, those who are fortunate enough to be in employment, but at the same time, everything so many people will tell you has risen recently with the exception of wages. So maybe in somewhat of a, dare I say it, in almost a clumsy fashion, was he perhaps advising or targeting his advice to that particular cohort?
Well, I don't know what planet he lives on, if I'm being honest with you. I'm going to just be straight about it. He was a cabinet minister in a government that was a disaster, that bankrupted our country. He made a comeback back into cabinet again, and he's proven to be a disaster again. You know, and that's just it. I think any objective analysis of it would tell you that. But the thing that is unforgivable, whatever about performance as a minister, is the indifference. It is, you know, Marie Antoinette style, let them eat cake. You know, it's because he doesn't have a sense that a whole layer of our people who are out there, you know, trying to get by, and that is a very, very large percentage of our people who struggle to pay the bills from week to week. You know, like, if you're looking at a household budget, and you know yourself, like that 2,000 or 3,000 euro is what breaks you. You know, that extra 2,000 or 3,000 euro that you just didn't have, you're already going from wage check to wage check. And I haven't even talked about food inflation, all the other forms of inflation, clothes, everything has gone up. So that's why we have said that there has to be an emergency budget. Mm. This is an absolute emergency wartime situation.
And Sinn Féin, Deputy McLaughlin, in fairness, have called for an emergency budget time and time again, but those calls seem to be falling on deaf ears. Now, obviously, Eamon Ryan, there are those who will say, well, when, as a political leader, he built up the Green Party after the last disaster when they were in government, and that he perhaps deserved a lot of credit for that. But could you make the point here that perhaps Eamon Ryan, in his portfolio, as obviously the current portfolio that he's holding there, is in some ways maybe reflecting the lack of connection that's there between the government and what's actually happening on the ground? Do you sense now from your daily dealings from the opposition ranks that there is a real disconnection from the government, from other ministers, and not just Eamon Ryan, in relation to the difficulties that people are experiencing?
Definitely. And, you know, the extraordinary thing is Michael D. Higgins, who, you know, if you think about it, Michael D. Higgins is the president. He's up there in Phoenix Park. You would think, right, he would be very disconnected. You know, he's been not in as many visits because of COVID over the last few years. You'd say, right, if there's anybody in public life that wouldn't be connected to the people, you know, that would be the man. Yet he delivers a speech in recent days that it was a barnstorming speech that was totally reflecting the hurt and pain and anger about the disaster that was made in the housing situation, where young people now are emigrating from our part of the world along the west of Ireland, not because there isn't jobs as there were back in my day when I was younger, but because they can't afford to rent or own a home. So, yeah, to answer your question...
Would you believe that we're going to discuss on the show a little bit later? But the point I want to make to you on that, since President Higgins has made those comments, many ministers, we are led to believe, have taken a great offence to it. They said that he's you know, stepped out of turn here, he's gone above his station and commenting the way that he did. So, again, does that maybe show that this particular government are not very fond of criticism?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the housing area, just briefly, I mean, what happened there is we didn't build public housing for 10 years. We pushed everybody who should have been housed in a public council house into the private sector. Now you can't find anywhere to rent. If you do, it'll cost you a fortune. And of course, that has a knock-on effect on the cost. So that's, in other words, it's government policy. This didn't happen. This isn't an actual disaster that just happened. This is willful government policy. And also on the other side, then, you've enriched institutional investors. You've given them tax breaks to make huge profits on the misery of our people. So that's the housing area. And yes, there is a deep burning anger in our people. And when you're struggling and it's tight to get by, and you're hit with a wartime crisis, and your government says it's going to be 6 months before we're going to do anything about this now. Like, and just to be clear, everybody understands that they can't compensate us for all the financial pain that we felt due to this war in Russia and Ukraine. But the government have to do more. They have to do more than what they've done. And the other important point, this is a really important point, is the government are profiting from this misery. The tax take that comes from the big increase in fuel means that their VAT, their excise duties have all significantly increased. I think there's been estimated there's at least a billion extra in the government coffers due to this these increases, a billion. So they have extra resources to do something about this.
Just two points, Padraig, if I may, and just in relation, again, going back to Eamon Ryan's comments in relation to going to the social welfare office. So many people are making contact with us here this morning, and they're telling us it's a long and sometimes difficult process to secure emergency payments or any type of payments, because obviously there's criteria that you have to meet, that you have to be able to go and prove that you're entitled to these payments. words, and so on and so forth. The other thing that I'm noticing here as well on the calls, on the comments that are coming into the programme, and again going back to maybe some of the stories in the news this morning, we're in the summertime of the year now at the minute. When we head into autumn and winter, we're expecting the fuel crisis to escalate in many ways. We seem to have a very, very difficult winter ahead. How worried should we be? And we don't want to be scaremongering here, but is there real cause for genuine concern here that this could get worse before it gets better?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say there is, because, I mean, I've been talking to some of the fuel suppliers in North Donegal, where I'm TD, and they're telling me that they're very worried about the whole area of fuel costs, and indeed solid fuel, coal. There's real pressures there, and they one of the things, and I'm one of those people where you're holding back. I'm fortunate because I don't have any young children or anybody, an older person in my house. A lot of people don't have this luxury, but I'm choosing not to use home heating oil right now in the house to try and hold back and fill the tank later in the year. That's what all of my peers, all of my family and friends would be in that category. And you're hoping that it'll be cheaper to fill your tank later in the year. But I'm being told that's not going to be the case, that you're going to pay. You're nearly as well to do it now and take the hit because it's going to get even worse later in the year. That's what I've been told by the people in the industry.
And that seems to be the general consensus. One final point, and this is always going to be levelled at regardless what party is in opposition, but just some of the comments coming in here. Here we go again, Sinn Féin taking the moral high ground. 2 weeks ago you were declaring an emergency when 750,000 people could not go on holidays and were left queuing in Dublin Airport. So it's always going to be a stick that's going to be used to beat you with, Padraig. They're more or less coming out here and saying, look, you're the main opposition party. You're turning this into a political football. You're pint scoring on Eamon Ryan here. How would you respond to that criticism?
Yeah, they respond very, very robustly. And I'd say this, that Sinn Féin is the main opposition party. When we say something has to be done, we have to show where the money's found. Piers Doherty's our spokesperson in finance. When he publishes an alternative budget, say if it's an emergency budget or the annual budget in October. So when we say this is what we're going to spend in health, housing, education, we have to show where we find the money from, where the taxes are going to come from. That's the responsibility on us. So we take those responsibilities very seriously. So when we say there needs to be an emergency budget, we will have to show what we would do to ease the pressure on families. So I don't take that criticism from anybody. I'm very proud of the way that we go about our politics. But one thing I am clear about is that we are rooted in our communities, that the people we represent are people who are, trying to get by or working hard, trying to get by every week, and they are losing faith for this government. What I'm hearing more and more is that when is this government going to go? When are we going to get rid of this government? I've never seen anything like it in my political life. 20 years a public representative, and people are almost pleading with us, how do we get rid of this government? How do we get them replaced? That's how out of touch and how bad it's got.